Bible reading is Acts 14, 21 to 28. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God," they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. After going through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he'd opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples.
Why don't I pray for us before we look at the Bible some more? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that we, as we look at the end of this journey of Paul and Barnabas, we would see not just geography, not just names of cities, but we would hear the voice of the living God speaking to us. Help us to understand what this passage has to say to us today, and help us to put your word into practice for Jesus' sake. Amen. So tonight we join Paul and Barnabas near the end of their journey. It's been one eventful journey, busy, frantic, rewarding, difficult, encouraging, draining. They've seen themselves welcomed, hated, and very nearly killed. And they've been doing what I've called in this talk gospel work. And by that I mean telling people the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And as we follow them back on this final stage of their journey, described briefly in these verses at the end of chapter 14. Do have them in front of you, please. What Rowan read, the last little section from 21 of 14. We'll see four priorities that have shaped their whole trip. Four marks of true gospel work. And if you just have those up on the screen. First one there is gospel work grows disciples by preaching the gospel. What is the mission of the church today? I'm reading a book about that at the moment. And it says we need to be really clear on what our mission actually is, because there are all kinds of things that we could be doing. There is all sorts of charity work we could be doing. We could be passionate about feeding the hungry, about ensuring the world has fresh water to drink, about eradicating AIDS, giving to the poor, providing beds for the homeless. And of course, all of these things are good things to do, things that it's right for Christians to be involved in. But what is the primary concern of the church? Well, it's the one thing that if a church isn't doing, then no one will be doing it. The mission God has called every Christian to be a part of. Put simply, it's growing disciples by preaching the gospel. And we're not sent in the same way that Paul and Barnabas were on the first ever mission trip around this part of the world. They were doing the groundwork. They had a particular calling from God as apostles. But every single one of us is called to grow disciples. Disciples are followers of Jesus. So if you are a follower of Jesus, you are called to help others be followers of Jesus too. Notice I call this growing disciples, because in the passage we see two parts to this. And Paul and Barnabas take both parts of this growing disciples seriously. See if you can spot what they are. Let's just look again from verse 21. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. Did you see these two parts of growing disciples? In Derby, a place they'd not been to before, they preach the gospel and make or win a large number of people who put their trust in Jesus for the first time. And this is helping new people become Christians, disciple making. But as they return to Antioch, where they began their trip, they go back through Lystra, Iconium and Antioch, the other Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to Jesus. And how is so those two parts there, making disciples and encouraging disciples. And how is this gospel work done? It's done as the gospel, verse 21, or the word is described in verse 25, is preached. It's as the message of Jesus is proclaimed that people come to faith in him. And it is this same gospel, it's proclaimed to people, that people are strengthened and encouraged in their faith. Of course, this doesn't need to be done from a pulpit. It can be done through informal conversations, talking to people about Jesus. So as disciple makers, we must ensure that a message is being spoken. A message about Jesus. A message about how, though our sin separates us from God and condemns us, in his love, God sent his Son to pay for our sin, so we can live in Christ forever. It's a great message, great news. So by all means, we should be reaching into the community through social action. By all means, get involved in politics. We should be a loving example to our neighbour. But in all these things, we must have in the forefront of our minds that people ultimately need to hear the gospel. This must be our goal, because it is what people all need. Loving others, but never wanting to talk about Jesus, is empty love. If there's no gospel message on our lips, we as a church are not fulfilling the mission that God has given us. Are we winning disciples for Christ? Are we looking to share our faith, to share our testimony of who God is and what he's done for us with a world that so desperately needs him? And are we also looking to do the second part? Are we looking to strengthen and encourage disciples to remain true to the gospel? We know the pressure that every Christian is under. Jesus, in his parable of the sower, describes people falling away when trouble and persecution come. He talks about the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things coming in and choking us. So we need the encouragement the gospel brings to keep going, living with Christ as our King. I need the encouragement of the gospel every day. So can you think of one Christian, perhaps, who you could encourage this week? Maybe one person you could ring up, meet up, have a drink with, and perhaps share a verse from the Bible with, that you feel would just encourage them to keep on going. One verse that may strengthen another Christian. Paul and Barnabas have such care for these new Christians that they want to make sure they're properly looked after. That's why they appoint elders for the church. See verse 23 there. Elders are men who will teach and look after God's people. Paul and Barnabas can't stay forever, but they ensure that faithful teaching will carry on and new disciples will be encouraged and strengthened. So, gospel work grows disciples by preaching the gospel. And secondly, gospel work is realistic about hardship. Have a look with me, verse 22. When they go back through these cities, and they're strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God," they said. This is Paul's great message of encouragement. We must suffer. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, it doesn't sound at first like great encouragement, does it? But Paul is being realistic. He's not lulling them into a false sense of security. He's telling it as it is. So just let's go back and see what has happened to Paul and Barnabas on their mission trip. Let me just give you some of the highlights or the lowlights, you might say, of what has happened in these last few chapters. First, we saw at the start of their trip back in Cyprus, back in chapter 13, that they faced opposition from Bar Jesus. Elymas is his other name, this Jewish sorcerer. Then they moved to Antioch, Pisidian, in this area, Pisidian Antioch. And after a long sermon there, the Jews are filled with jealousy and talk abusively against Paul. By verse 50, they've stirred up persecution from important people in the city. And then they had Paul and Barnabas expelled from that place. In Iconium, there's so much hatred that a plan is devised to ill-treat them and to stone them. And then in Lystra, they've been followed by these same people from Iconium and Antioch, and again have this sort of hatred towards them stirred up. And they're attacked then so severely that everyone had thought Paul was dead, it says. Must have been unconscious, left for dead. And yet none of this stopped Paul and Barnabas from God's mission. In fact, when they finished in Derbe, they could have easily gone home a more direct route back to Antioch, and no one would have thought badly of them. I'm sure that's what I'd have been tempted to do. And yet they choose to go back through all the places where they have been persecuted, the places where people have been out to kill them. And this is Paul's commitment to gospel work. This is Paul being realistic about hardship. This is Paul loving the people he's helped become disciples so much that he's desperate to go back and encourage them. So as he goes back to these new Christians, they'll have seen firsthand the aggro, the trouble that Paul and Barnabas had been through. So he warns them, we must suffer much if we are to live in God's kingdom under God's rule. The Christian life won't be easy. Paul is in fact picking up on Jesus' own words. Jesus tells us to deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow him. Listen to this. A sentence Jesus says in John 15. He says, "No servant is greater than his master. If they persecute me," he says, "they will persecute you also." In Acts we've seen a positive response to the gospel contrasted with a negative response. We've seen that wherever the gospel is preached, opposition is sure to follow. Have you understood this, I wonder? Life won't be easy. People will give us a hard time if we speak out or ever take a stand. We can hide away and probably get away with it. But we're called to live for Jesus and to die for him if necessary. We know the Christian voice is often mocked, particularly when people stand up for biblical teaching on ethics, morality, on sex. There seems to be a shift away from Christian values, and those who hold on to them are so often portrayed by the media as extreme, old-fashioned, even intolerant, homophobic. We're called to be realistic about hardship. Thirdly, then, gospel work is done in God's strength. This is a great encouragement. This is really exciting. Now, let me try and illustrate. I don't know if you watch TV, and I was just trying to sort of think of some of the programs which are popular, some of the programs which are odd. In fact, all quiz shows, really. I don't know if you ever see that program, The Chaser, where they're having to get questions right and to move closer to a target. But all sort of quiz shows and things, the success or failure of the person all comes down to, to the strength of the person competing, to how clever they are in that case. Athletics, we've got the Olympics coming up, there's going to be lots of that on the TV. Again, the strength or stamina of the person competing, that's what determines success or failure. Apparently, a new series of The Apprentice is starting this week. And again, that's all about the strength of the candidates who compete. Will they succeed or fail? How strong are they? How competent are they? But Paul and Barnabas attribute all the success of their gospel mission, not to their own strength, but to God. Let's just have a look down, verse 27. On arriving there, that's back at Antioch, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. See how Paul reports back to the church? Does he say I'm going to tell all that Paul and Barnabas have done in all these different places? No, he doesn't. He tells them all that God has done. Because gospel work is God's work. It's amazing how easily we fall into the trap of thinking it's all about us, what we have achieved. We think it all depends on us. Whether we succeed or fail, we're quick to forget that it's God who opens people's hearts to the gospel. It's God who changes hearts, who changes lives. It's God who grows disciples. God doesn't need us. When anyone becomes a follower of Jesus, it's because God has been at work in their life. Paul has every reason to boast. He really was an extraordinary person who God used in a dramatic way. But he gives all the credit to God. That's why he commits the elders to God. That's why he was committed to the grace of God in the first place. Because gospel work is God's work. That's why he says God opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. That's why he's reported all that God has done. True gospel work gives God the glory, not ourselves. Pride is such a dangerous enemy that creeps into each of us so easily. We need to fight it. Pride is ugly. Gospel work is done in God's strength because only God is able to change lives and hearts. However, it is a partnership. Again, we see that throughout Acts. God does use us. And this is a great privilege and a great responsibility. Because God's work is done in God's strength, we should pray. We should be really prayerful. We should be asking God to be working in the lives of the people we talk to about Jesus. Our job is to pray and to go to people and tell them the good news of Jesus. Some people will respond positively and love what they hear. Others will respond negatively and hate it. And hate us too, maybe. But God is in control even over how a person responds. Mark Dever, a leader of a church in Boston, he writes this. He says, "We don't fail in our evangelism if we faithfully present the gospel and yet the person is not converted. We fail only if we don't faithfully present the gospel at all." This is an encouragement to keep on going in gospel work, because it doesn't all rest on me. God is stronger than I am, and gospel work is done in God's strength. And finally then, gospel work reaches all people. Again, this is another theme we've seen over the last few weeks. Many Jewish people reject the gospel, while many Gentiles, non-Jews, believe and respond to the gospel. The message of Jesus isn't for one religion or race. It's for all people. This was surprising at the time. It was shocking, in fact. It's not just people with a religious heritage who are welcomed by God. The family you're born into makes no difference. Rather, all people need to hear about Jesus. All people need to put their trust in him. Paul has seen how God is calling him to this specific task of reaching non-Jewish people with the gospel. That's why Paul and Barnabas report back to the church, verse 27, how God had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. As we join the mission that God has given us, let's remember the mission that Jesus gave. Let's remember, we're looking at the mission of Paul and Barnabas, let's remember what Jesus says, the mission we have to go to all nations. That's not people exclusively who are like us. It's to different groups of people throughout the world. Everyone needs the gospel because it's God's power to save. So I hope we remember this and think through whether we are taking our responsibility seriously or whether there's still prejudice inside us, who we will and won't talk to Jesus, who we think will respond and who we think deep down will never respond to Jesus. So there we have it, the end of this amazing journey of Paul and Barnabas, the end of this first gospel mission. And we've learned loads along the way. And this final section just seems to be picking up on these key themes that we've seen and emphasising them again. But what I hope is we won't leave here thinking, that's nice, Paul and Barnabas had an exciting trip. That's interesting, knowing all the different cities they went to, the places they visit. I hope that we will let these principles of gospel work shape our lives and impact the way we live. I hope we will take seriously this need to talk to others about the gospel. It's what God has called all Christians to do. God equips us to take the message of Jesus to all people so that disciples will be grown. Must be looking to talk to those people who don't yet know Jesus, telling them why he matters, why Jesus can't be ignored, how he is relevant to life today. And we must be looking to strengthen and encourage other Christians too. Not leaving people as they are, but helping them to grow, helping them to keep going. True gospel work doesn't stop when someone becomes a Christian. No, that's just the start. Gospel work is realistic about persecution and suffering. Jesus was killed. Paul was very nearly killed here in this section. And we must be prepared to suffer too. The kingdom of God is entered through hardship. And gospel work reaches people throughout the world, because it's done in God's strength. God alone gets the glory, not us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who rescues. We thank you that you have rescued us through the Lord Jesus, through what he has achieved on the cross. And we thank you for those people who have explained the message of Jesus to us. And we pray that we would take seriously our responsibility to grow disciples, to talk to people about Jesus, to encourage other Christians. Help us to be realistic about hardship. Help us to stand for you each day, even when it's tough. And we thank you that you are the God who brings people to faith, that you are the one who gets all the glory. And we praise you for this. Give us strength to keep going, living for Jesus. And use us, we pray. Amen.